Do you find yourself longing for the utter nonsense and bullshit of Vanderpump Rules? Or miss the heavy makeup and radioactive orange spray tans of the Jersey Shore? Don't have the patience to watch yet another reality TV show? Well, I hear you there. The solution is The Only Way is Jamie, a newish web series covering every season of the UK reality show The Only Way is Essex, which if you have not seen that show, is hilarious. You can catch Jamie Z, that's J-A-Y-M-E, and the All British Shenanigans on YouTube telling. I mean, come on, we've all got questions.
What's the pajazz of?
Watch what crap is. Guess what happens when there's so much crap is.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm with the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelker from the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. Sorry for the drilling in the background. There's some construction outside, and there's nothing I can do about it except to go out there and yell like an old lady.
Well, it's all right. Hopefully our microphones are even today. Working on that. All right, everybody. So who cares about the drilling, you know?
Yes, who cares about the drilling? This is a professional podcast, and we will carry on like the professionals we are.
So, everybody, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where other listeners get together to talk shit with us during the week. We have live show threads. Well, usually they're live. Sometimes I forget. But come talk about the shows the night they air. And meet other listeners. We shall have a good time there. And we are also on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where you guys can subscribe to us. This podcast will remain free twice a week. But if you want bonus podcasts, they're over on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. There's ringtones. There's monthly Google Hangouts, etc., etc.
Etc. We had
today's
a fun...
bonus.
I was just about to say, our bonus episode today, we talked about Caitlyn Jenner, and we talked about various other random stuff. What was trending on Twitter? I mentioned the things that hurt my feelings. All the good stuff.
Game etiquette? Game etiquette?
It's not really game etiquette. It's more like how to politely reject me without hurting my feelings.
Oh, Ben!
No! Ronnie, it's a fun bonus episode as always, and I want to thank everyone, by the way, for we said last week we wanted to make a mission to have Chrissy Teigen come on the podcast, and I'm happy to report that Chrissy Teigen is not responding to any of our tweets, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, that is very exciting.
We continue to be ignored. I don't think she's going to come on.
No, I don't think
though.
So. She's like, who are these weirdos?
I know. You know what? It's because we don't, it's like, it's one thing if it were like 1,000 people tweeting at her or creating like an online petition, like getting Betty White on SNL, but it's basically only like 20 of us tweeting at her. So it just seems like we're just pests.
Some weirdos.
We're just a bunch of weirdos tweeting at Chrissy Teigen. She's like,
well, I hope we can stop, tweeting at, Chrissy Teigen soon, because I actually saw Chrissy Teigen. I didn't really know who this woman was at first, which am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to shit talk Chrissy Teigen yet? Or you give me the go ahead, Ben.
She was like just about to like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go on this podcast. Wait a second.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe I should wait. Okay. Well, she already knows now. She's listening that I was going to, but I didn't know who this person was. But I was at a friend's house it's one of those friends who like plays everybody the TV as entertainment before you go out. Bad idea. We're old. We're getting old. But he's like, look at this show I like. It's about lip syncing, and all these celebrities come on and then they lip sync against each other. And he was showing us lip sync clips or whatever.
Yeah.
So this Chrissy Teigen chick, I guess, is on that show, and she doesn't really say anything. She's just like the DJ lady. Have you seen this show? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like lip sync for your celebrity or something.
I've seen parts of it. Continue.
Yeah, it's like lip sync to stay a celebrity or whatever. But like movie stars and stuff do it. But big stars do it. But anyway, she's in the back and she's the DJ. That's her job on the show. And she just DJs. Like she pretends she's spinning a record during commercials. And then she puts her hand up and like waves it and stuff. And I was like, who's that you know, who's that bimbo? Like, what the hell? Why do they keep showing her? She's not even really scratching a record. And they were like, oh, that's John Legend's wife. And I was like, really? All those beautiful love songs and he's been singing to a model this whole time. Is it weird that that makes it less romantic when I hear it, one of his songs?
Well, like, to be fair, she is supposed to actually be really awesome. I know that sounds ridiculous, but people I know who dance on that show, that very show you said, people I know very well, have said that she's actually really cool, and other people say she's really cool. So I guess John Legend, you know, sees more than just beauty. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. What am I talking about? I'm
like, I don't know. I just find songs. I find romantic songs less. Romantic when you're talking to a model. Like, of course you love a fucking model, you 5 foot tall little shrimp.
I'm
like, come on, of course you got rich and got a model right away. Like, it would be different if it was Wolfman. What's that actor's name? From Australia? The Wolfman from X-Men?
Oh,
he's the wolf guy.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman got rich and he kept his wife, you know. Every time I see him on the red carpet with like a heavy older wife, I'm like, you go, Hugh Jackman.
Hey, publicist, get out of the frame. Why are you kissing Hugh Jackman, publicist? Get out of there.
I want Hugh Jackman to do a cover of that beautiful John Legend song so I can find it romantic again. All right, that's enough of that. BoxyCharm, guys. BoxyCharm. You know what I'll bet Chrissy Teigen gets? Because whether or not I agree with romantic songs about her, I do agree that she deserves love and she deserves beauty. So I hope that John Legend loves her enough to get her BoxyCharm. BoxyCharm is a beauty subscription box that sends you full-size products ranging from cosmetics, skincare, hair care, and more for only $21 a month, plus free shipping with no long-term commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Okay. Other companies send sample sizes, but BoxyCharm sends you full-size products from popular brands such as Tarte Cosmetics, NCLA, Oscar Blandy, and Cargo Cosmetic. It's a total value of $95 plus each month, and that's for only $21 a month plus shipping. They also offer exclusive member-only offers and giveaways from the best brands. Subscribers can relieve your loyalty points. They're tired of being with you.
Chef Betty, relieve your loyalty points right now. Do not abandon your post, otherwise you'll relieve your loyalty points. Chef Betty.
Subscribers can receive loyalty points to redeem extra goodies for their box. Perfect for treating yourself, wife, girlfriend, mom, friends, Chrissy Teigen. If you're not sold, just search BoxyCharm on YouTube to access thousands of unboxing videos. So get yourself some BoxyCharm.
Chef Penny, quickly, put the tuna tartare on the box and send it to BoxyCharm so someone can unbox it.
Someone putting that on their face. Like, I've got tuna tartare on my face. BoxyCharm told me to do it.
Whatever you do, Chef Penny, do not abandon your BoxyCharm. There's tuna tartare in there for your face.
Chef Penny abandoned her post, but at least it was to watch unboxing videos of BoxyCharm on YouTube, darling. It's a forgivable offense.
Darling, here's what you do, okay? You go and you steam some asparagus, you put it in a box, you send it to someone and say, put it on your face, do it right now. BoxyCharm.
So we've got an action-packed show today here at Watch What Crappens. Lots went down this week.
A lot of action. A lot of padding.
And maybe not, but even if it didn't, it still counts as action to us, all right. Ben, did you watch the... I mean, I know you did. I don't know why I'm asking you, but can we please start with Real Housewives of Melbourne?
I think we have to because it's our last one of the season.
Oh, Real Housewives of Melbourne, I love you so. Don't leave me. Don't be an awful person like Gina.
I know. I'm so sad this is going to be our last day of being able to use our accents where it makes sense. Because I mean, we'll still speak in Australian accents for the next 6 months, but no one will have any idea why.
Yeah, I'm really sad. Okay, is Lydia trying to speak in an American accent? Yes or no?
I think she's just speaking in the language of love.
She's trying to speak in an American accent. She's changing her accent. Like, she's really hardening those R's. I don't know. I don't know why it matters, but that's the top of my notes.
Well, she's tried a lot of different accents, and this is her 71st. Yes, that's right.
It's in my marriage contract that I keep my husband with a boner, and he gets boners from different accents. So today I'm trying America.
Mr. Figaro only listens to American accents, so I have to speak in American accents in order to make him run.
There's something about rolling over that Americans just know how to command. Let us discuss Real Housewives of Miami. Melbourne. So we opened up today with Pettiflor. It's the continuation from last week where Pettiflor has stormed off the stage because I do not deal with liars.
Okay, you guys, if you're going to say this, I'm going to go, okay? Because I'm not a liar, okay? You guys, okay, that is enough. I'm going to go. I'm not a liar, you guys.
How dare you call me a liar? I do not drink. Like, we've seen you drink on the show, darling. Two drinks is the minimum. Listen, lady.
I only drink two drinks, okay? Only two drinks, okay? Which means that I do not drink.
Yeah, a comedy club having a two-drink limit doesn't mean it's not serving alcohol, you fucking idiot. Like, you can change the terminology, but it's still drinking.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, darling. And she's like sitting in like the crew seat. She's on a folding chair. She's like, I will not go out there with liars. One thing I do not deal with is liars.
I do not like liars. If I liked liars, I would actually put my book in the fiction section of Amazon, but I hate fiction. I hate it.
Do you know one sort of book I never read? Fiction. Because it's all a book of lies.
It's a book of lies. Have you ever heard of Shakespeare? Biggest liar in the world. I hate him. One time my son went to school and they tried to make him do a Shakespeare play and I took him out of school.
I remember the first time I read Nancy Drew and I was so shocked that such a crime could happen and that such a little girl could solve it. And then I found out it was all lies because it was fiction and I felt so betrayed. Book after book of Nancy Drew lying to us. She doesn't even exist.
I canceled cable because of Murder, She Wrote. Because not only is it a show filled with lies because there is no author who solves mysteries, but it's about an author who lies and lies on the page. No, double no.
I cannot support anyone who just actively lies to people through words.
I'm double freaking out, bitches. Okay, so...
You know what I don't like? I know what I don't like is Stephen King. He writes his books, and I thought, oh my goodness, I never thought that ghosts were real. And then I realized ghosts were real. And then at the end, I found out it is just a book of fiction. That is not right, okay? I do not deal with liars who write books.
Also, my next book is called Misery. Misery, bitch. So Bitch Pet Cemetery.
The Bitch Shining.
So stupid. Okay.
Needful Bitches. You ever read that book, Needful Bitches?
So Pettiflor
Claiborne.
Pettiflor was so furious about being called drunk that she stormed off the stage where no one could find her, right behind the flat of the set. She's I will be right behind this flat. Do not bother me. Like, come on now. At least go to the dressing room or something.
She's like, I'm going to storm off, but I'm going to stay an appropriate distance for them to beg for me to come back.
That was so fucking funny. And then Lydia, the peacemaker... is over, which she's not at all, which is so funny because her comforting isn't comforting at all. She's like, hi there, Pettiflor, why aren't you coming back? Oh, really? Maybe you should stop being ridiculous then. It's like, are you supposed to be comforting me?
Yeah. She's like, switch the bitch. Pettiflor's like, what bitch switch? I cannot switch the bitch when there's no power to the bitch light.
Then they cut to the other women who are just laughing their asses off that Pettiflor is crying. I love these women. This is the best Housewives cast of all time. These women, they just sat on the couch openly mocking her while she was crying behind the bad set. Just laughing their asses off like, we saw her drinking. That's Janet, by the way, if anybody couldn't tell.
Everyone in Melbourne saw her drinking.
And then what's his bun starts asking his questions, and they started trying to tell the story again of what actually happened, which I still don't understand. I guess Pettiflor said that Gina wasn't a real barrister or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're fighting about whether or not Gina's a lawyer. Yeah, and then Bettiflora screaming from the back, "This is not true! More lies! I'm moving my chair an inch back because this is how mad I am."
So more she moves, like, closer. I love how, like, because if Bettiflora hasn't heard of you as a lawyer, you therefore are not a lawyer. Like, she sits there and examines, like, all the registered lawyers in Australia, and if she hasn't found your name, it's like, oh, well, sorry, you're not an actual barrister.
I've never heard of you, like all of the other lawyers in Australia who are famous. Like, of course, like, you haven't heard of her.
We all know that there are only 30 barristers in all of Melbourne, and therefore, since I don't know you as one of the 30 barristers, you are not, therefore, a real lawyer.
You are not a real lawyer until your picture is on the back of a bus. Period.
You are not a real lawyer until you've had sex with my son.
What is an accidentes? So she, she's freaking, out in the back. The ladies are openly mocking her, and then Jackie's like, "Oh no! Here's what she said. She said that she wasn't a barrister, and then she said that blah blah blah." And Gina's like, "Oh yeah, Jackie tells the truth. Jackie tells the truth." I'm like, "Oh, now Jackie tells the truth."
Yeah. She just
Yeah. Now Gina's suddenly standing up for Jackie's truthiness. Love it. What was Alex saying about bedside? I don't even know what these notes means. Alex said bedside. Oh, his bedside manner. Because Andy goes to the dressing rooms and he's like, "Hun, why did you beat her with a bullhorn? That wasn't very nice. You want to come back now? You want some candy? You want to talk about your boobs? We can talk about your boobs some when you come back. I'll say hi to you again if you come back. I'll say hi." This new guy, sunglasses on his weird face guy, doesn't do that. He's like, "What are you going on about, Pettiflora? Just come back out, you know? This is tiring, all right? I'm getting fog on my sunglasses on the top of my head because my head's tired and it's heating up. Right. Get your fat ass back out here and let's finish this up." She's like, "Okay, then. I will do this."
"Because you are not a liar. You were telling me the truth right now."
And then Gina's like, "She was walking up the street screaming like a gypsy." Which, of course, is not racist to gypsies. You know, this show has so many double standards. That was racist against the musical Gypsy. How dare you suggest that Ethel Merman was a psychopath?
Excuse me, they're called Roma, not gypsies.
I can't believe you would say that. It's so racist. You know, but I loved is that, like, after all this commotion, they finally get Pettiflora back, and everyone finally gets in their seats, and everyone calms down. Then Alex is like, "All right, let's get back to where this all started. Gina, did you call her a cunt?" It's like, "Oh, good. I'm glad we got back to the pressing issue of the day."
I liked it when she sat back down. She's like, "I need some water." You know who else does? Alcoholics. That's who.
Yeah, why does she need water anyway?
Did you call her a cunt?
Yeah, it's like, it was like so on his mind. It was like through all this, he kept on wondering, like, did she really call? Well, I'm doing Pettiflora voice, but like, she's still wondering. The most pressing thing at this moment is Pettiflora okay? Is she going to come back? It's still like, I still want to know, did you call her a cunt?
Okay. These women do not even apologize. They just keep laughing at her while she's sitting back down. Janet's like, "I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. I mean, I don't even believe she's crying. I don't even believe her name is Pettiflora. I don't even believe she's wearing a dress she just told us and she brainwashed into thinking it."
Oh, Janet, how awful.
Oh, Janet, what an awful person.
Say she's not crying. She's clearly tearing.
By the way, Gina's response was like, "No, I don't remember calling her a C-word. I think I called her a pitchka." What is a pitchka? Another word for cunt? It's like Russian cunt or what?
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably a bogan word for cunt.
And look, I didn't dig my nails into her arm. I just squeezed her arm and told her not to fuck with me, cunt. Okay, we got it.
All I said was, "You can't fuck with me, all right?" And then she misinterpreted that. It was just a joke, and I said can't, not cunt. I don't know what the problem is.
Look, the problem is she's Puerto Rican. If she knew proper English, she'd know the difference between cut and cunt. Yeah, it's just how it is.
The problem is that I'd had a bad shrimp, Billy, and I got hand tetanus as a result of it. So when I grabbed her arm, suddenly I got lockjaw, but it was in my fingers, so my fingers dug into her. So that's what happened. I got finger lockjaw.
Alex does not give Pettiflora a break. He's like, "So, Pettiflora, you know what would be lovely to talk about? Racism." Yeah. She's like, "Don't go there. Don't go there.
Don't go there. Please do not go there. And if you have to ask a question, then you must. But please do not go there. Do not go there. Go on. Ask your question if you must. Ask it. Are you going to ask it? Because I thought it was racist. But don't go there. Don't go there.
So then we get a clip montage of this horrible racism. First, we cut to the cops bashing black people in Baltimore. And then it's off to Pettiflor. Being told she has an accent. The best part of this was still Lydia's, you know, she's Thai, she's Mexican, she's black, she's Puerto Rican. I mean, she's a real mongrel of a woman. That's a real mongrel.
That was the most racist thing. I mean, I can understand Gina making fun of Pettiflor's accent is insensitive and it's mean, but I don't think it's actually racist. But I think that Lydia calling her a mongrel actually is racist because you're sort of saying you are a lesser person because you are these things. And they are like, Gina's just making fun of her accent the way we do, which is because the things she says are so ridiculous and that's just the way she talks.
Yeah, exactly. I can't make fun of you in a different accent. It would be racist to whoever's accent I was using. All right.
Yeah. I think the only time where Gina crosses the line perhaps is that when Pettiflor says that she's worked hard to get rid of her accent. And then Gina says, well, you didn't do a good enough job, you know, then that's, I still don't even think that's racist. I think that's just like a mean thing, a mean asshole thing to say to someone to make them feel, to belittle someone for something that they kind of can't help. But it's not actually racist, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we watch this big racism clip, which there's really not any racism. And then Pettiflor is like wiping her eyes like she just watched 12 years a freaking out bitch. She's like, 12 years a freaking out bitch.
12 years of a freaking out switching bitch. You know what? I switched the bitch because I wasn't a slave, and I switched the bitch and became a slave for 12 years.
The colored bitch. So then he's like,
I know why the cage bitch sings.
Bitch roots.
They're bitches. We're watching God.
Okay. So then Alex tries to bring it back around to racism, and she's like,
"Bliss." Sorry. I'm not letting black literature go. Okay, I'm gonna go through it.
I'm gonna go. The grapes of bitch. That's not a racist thing. Why did I say the grapes of
bitch? Depression. That's fine. That one was fine.
Romeo and bitch. They're like not even racist at all.
Bitch.
Okay,
bitch,
I'm getting loopy now.
Bitch loved.
So Alex is like, yeah, but it was difficult, wasn't it, for you, Pettiflor? Because growing up, you know. She's like, yes, growing up was difficult. Because even when I grew up, you know, in India, I was mixed race. And it is very difficult for people of mixed race because we don't belong anywhere. And people can be mixed race to all of us. And he's like, yeah, I'm mixed race too. I'm also a faggot, you know. I mean, somehow that gets me in more trouble. But all right, go on then. Like, shut up, mixed race. Who's not mixed race, you
fucking
moron? Well,
I mean, I actually did sort of understand that. I mean, I get it. If she was – I actually believe her when she says she was made fun of as a child in Sri Lanka for not being, like, purely Sri Lankan. I get that. But I think then bring it into, like, into this context. Like, I don't fit in. I don't know. It feels like she took something very real and then she's exploiting it for her own benefit in this show. So, yeah, Pettiflor, I'm going to give you a point, and then I'm going to take it away.
Point gone.
Sorry. Point is gone. Bitches. I switched the point, bitch. I was like, is it point? And then I switched it and took it back.
I have switched the bitch of score counting. This is unfair. The score counter is racist, because when I was a child one time, I knew someone who was darker than me, and they gave me a bad score in Monopoly on purpose. Terrible, terrible life. It's a terrible life. Shut up.
When I was playing Settlers of Catan, I had the longest road, but then someone built a road that was longer and I had to give it to them, and I felt like I really switched the bitch road, bitches.
I couldn't even finish playing Settlers of Catan because I felt like it wasn't my right to settle anywhere because everyone had roads and none of them led to the mixed section part of town. That game is racist.
I felt like
I felt like I never could fit in Catan, you know, because I was not from Catan. I was partially Catan. You know, some people were like, are you of the bricks or you of the wheat? And I was like, I'm from neither. I'm from Switzerland. And they're like, well, you don't belong in Catan. And I just don't fit in, bitches.
I'm the expansion pack, bitches.
I'm settler seafarers, and they're like, what do we do with you? We don't know what to do with all your sea tires. We are here for we're the agricultural tires, and I just never fit in on the island, bitches. I made a trade. I traded two wheat for one brick, and I was like, I'm going to switch the bitch here, make new resources. That's what I did. I earned every single brick myself.
So she's...
Sorry, everyone.
So dot, dot, dot. No, I'm just kidding. She's going off about being a victim because now she's mixed race. So that's really difficult, which I'm sorry, Ben. I accept your opinion, but I don't agree with it. And I have to still laugh, Ben, because I'm a psychic and angels don't lie. And my angels are laughing, all right?
Well, then we got the Jack montage, which was...
Oh, amazing. No. Wait, even before that, though. So Pettiflor is crying, well, not real crying, but like fake crying, trying to get people to feel sorry for her. And then Gina starts laughing, and she's like, wait a second, but you do have an accent. And Chica's like, nah, that's not what she's trying to say. You know, I don't like when people do this. Let me explain to you what she's trying to say. Which, that's Chica's role in this part of the reunion, is just reframing what everybody's saying in the most non-offensive way ever. So that there's no fighting, which that's kind of the point of the show, Chica. Be quiet. She's like, I still feel bad for her. I mean, she's a mixed race. One time I had a bowl with peanut M&Ms and plain, and I have to admit, I was disappointed when I got a plain one.
She's like, and then I thought to myself, I wonder which jar I should put these peanut and regular M&Ms. I mean, they don't fit in the regular one. They don't fit in the peanut one. Like, they just don't fit in anywhere, these peanut blend M&Ms. And everyone's like, I know.
I mean, Lord knows. Could you imagine being a crispy? Oh, God. Next year, we're going to have a crispy on this show. Crispy M&M.
Oh, God. Then there was a pretzel M&M. I was like, I don't know what to do with all these M&Ms. Ha!
So many M&Ms on this show. Not enough mans to eat them. Brucey!
But I was really happy because then I went to Lydia's house and she has all these electronic drawers and each one's for a different type of M&M. So then everything worked out in the end.
All you have to do is tap it with your foot. You just need to make sure to trap the right electronic drawer because electronics don't know and sometimes they'll give you a crispy. Oh, the horror! So then it's like this big accent fight, and then it became, how did it become about Janet? I think it was so funny that I stopped writing notes because I skipped to, Gamble saying something nasty to Janet where Janet's like, see, and you thought I was, what did she say? She's like, you thought I was a bad person or something. And Gamble's like, no, I never had a misconception. Oh, that's right. She's like, you had a misconception about me. And Gamble's like, I never had a misconception. No, you always knew you were full of shit.
No, you just jumped ahead. What happened was it?
I knew I skipped ahead, Ben. Save me, Ben.
Well, so what happened first was that there was a montage of Jackie, like Jackie's moments of, like, you know, psychic abilities. And they ended it with the fight in the Philippines where Jackie got so mad when Gina said that she was possessed, and Jackie had this like look on her face. It was like five different looks all at once. And then at the end of the montage, someone, we don't even see who, but someone on that stage there goes, ooh, Jackie, that was a great look. It's just, for some reason, that just made me crack up. Because they're always making little comments like, oh, Jackie. They always say something like, oh, that was lovely. That was a lovely thing to say. Oh, Gina, that was terrible. What a terrible thing to say. Jackie, what a look. That was quite a look you gave.
What a look there. Well, that's going in the show for sure. You want to give it again so we can get it from a different angle? Oh, Jackie, what a look. I love that montage of Jackie being a psychic. That was hilarious. It's like having a psychic ability, but for nothing useful. It's all horrible, stupid things. She's like, yeah, so we were going golfing, and one of my angels told me that Gina was going to lose a stick, and then Gina lost a stick. Wasn't that amazing? Aren't the angels amazing?
The angels are amazing. The angels told me there'd be a ball, and there'd be a club, and that someone would swing the club, and the ball would go flying. Wow, the angels, they really speak to me.
I've been standing here at this bench, and my angels kept telling me, a bus is going to come, a bus is going to come, and then a bus came. I mean, can you imagine those angels? I'm telling you, thank God for them. I might have gotten run over.
Those angels are so couture. They told me, you know what, it may be a sunny day now, but give it a few hours and the sun's going to go away. And sure enough, the sun went down and it became nighttime. Wow, angels.
Angels? I mean, who knew a white sheet? How couture?
So anyway, then there was some talk about Gamble because Gamble had disparaged Jackie's psychic ability. She's like, oh, you know, I'm a cynic, and so Wolfie and I, you know, we're just skeptical skeptics, so it's just, that's the way it is.
We're scepters. Me and Wolfie are scepters, and we don't believe in psychics because psychics say things that happen in the future, and you can focus on the future, and when you can focus on the now, Wolfie!
Well, I just don't believe in any of the stuff that's the psychic babble and the angels. I'm just, you know, I'm a skeptic. I have so much skepticism that we even have an underground tank for all of it. It's called our septic tank, and we put all our disbeliefs in it.
Gamble does not believe in it, and Jackie's like, well, that's how I make my living. I mean, that's my job, that's my career. I mean, that's like me going and, you know, when I see her paintings, say her paintings look like 5-year-old did it, but I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that because that's horrible. You just did it.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just did say it. So you're just as bad. But then Chica's like, no, wait. Here's what she's really trying to say. Shut up, Chica. We understand. It's not that deep, okay?
I know. And then there was like another montage.
And then, of course, Alex is like, well, I'm with Jackie. Because you can't criticize someone's job, you know? Someone told me my eyes went on my head one time. And I said, listen, I'm a fashion designer. And where my eyes look out, that's their business, all right? Don't disparage my eyes, my sunglasses. but they compared it to like saying you're not Catholic to a priest. Which I don't think is the truth. I think it's like telling a priest, like, the Bible is bullshit. I think would probably be close.
Yeah, I think that's probably. Yeah, exactly.
But still, who cares? If you're a psychic, you've got to be ready for people to not believe in psychics. Okay? It's just a dumb job. When I tell people that one of my jobs is talking about Bravo shows on the internet, they say I'm an idiot. And I accept it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very shameful thing that we do. So then there was another montage that Alex preceded by saying, well, the ladies of Melbourne sometimes are not ladylike. In fact, they say things that could make a sailor blush. And I was like, ooh, Alex.
He's like, I mean, if I was a sailor, I couldn't blush because of all the Botox I've had in my face. It doesn't really work anymore, except for the veins that you see pumping right here. But otherwise, normal sailors, blush parade. All right, let's welcome the blush parade. I'm gonna commentate on it as it passes by with sunglasses on my head. Who cares that it's winter?
He's like, little known fact, I was an extra in Mad Max, and I refused to get out of costume.
Still haven't seen Mad Max, Ben. I just can't wait till $16 is like a normal amount to spend on a movie. When that seems like a normal amount, then I'll go. But I can't be sitting there in Mad Max like, I could have bought like drugs with this. I could have a sack of weed to last me a week for this amount of money, darling. Fuck off, Mad Max. I'm going to see you when you're less mad on video, all right?
Well, if you see Mad Max, you'll see that there's like a bunch of characters that looked like Alex Perry in weird like leather, just in the desert chasing things.
I'm Dan. All right, $16 sounds fair. I'll be there today.
Yeah.
Now we're at the sex talk clip, which every woman who said it, she's like, well, listen, I think Janet. She's like, every woman in Melbourne is getting it, so that's why we talk about it.
Ugh. Like, where are you getting it from? What tool are you getting it from?
No kidding. What candy product that was sent to you in a beauty box are you using?
Okay. I know.
Bruce. Oh, yeah. They showed the clips of Chica smacking some stripper ass, and everybody's like, why a Chica? I didn't think he'd do it. I mean, Chica was the most into it than everyone. How did Brucey feel? She's like, hey, that, you know, watching that together, I mean, that was the first boner Brucey got since Christmas, you know, when I bought him underoos for the first time. Superman underoos, you know, he loves those.
Yeah, when she said that Brucey definitely approved of her, like, slapping a hot male stripper, I don't think anyone was surprised. I think, if anything, he was jealous.
Yeah, he's like, darling, please don't wash it off, all right? I just want you to smell like that coconut oil for a while now, all right? Coconut oil and musk, all right? Hold on a second. I'm reaching into my mangina. It's still hard, darling. Still hard. Come closer. Come closer.
He's like, darling, I'm not sure if I believe this tall tale you said about the strippers. I think the only way I'd believe it is if we went back there and I saw it with my own eyes. Let me see if these strippers are real. Maybe have one of them give me a lap dance so I know what you went through, so I know exactly if your story is true. Maybe you should leave the room, okay?
The only way to fix our marriage after you were with that stripper is for me to taste his penis and make sure that it's not anything dirty. Right?
I have to know that you didn't cheat with that stripper, so I will taste his penis to make sure it doesn't taste like you.
Tell me what that stripper's penis felt like inside of you. All right, now I'm going to go find out, and we're going to compare and see if you're lying.
Here's the thing. I know that if you had sex with that stripper, he's not going to have any sex drive. So therefore, I'm going to challenge him to give it to me up the butt. And if he can't do that, then I know he's been with you. But if he can, then I know we're okay.
So then it becomes all about the women getting boned, which, I mean, I couldn't fast forward because it was on the internet, but I don't need that. Especially the part with Pettiflor going down on that piece of penis poop that Lydia had made for her at her party, where she's like, this dessert was made by this special chef just for me, and it's a penis covered in poop. Oh, thanks for the tribute. And Pettiflor is like, oh, yes, you know the mixed race people in my town with long cookies? We were forced to shove them all the way down our throats and then go, it's part of the sex trade. Don't make fun of me. It's a racist.
Lydia's like, well, that's okay. I know you feel sad, but guess what? You're my daughter now, so don't feel bad. You belong here in my half.
You're my daughter now.
you're my daughter now, Pettiflor.
Maybe it's time to stop thinking about how racist people are and start thinking about where you're going to dig up the next tree for my living room.
You know, I love having a mongrel as a daughter. It means she'll love me even more.
Mm. So then it turns into a little clip about
Wolfie and Gamble. Oh,
Wolfie. It's not all about getting your dry vagina covered in lotion so that you can just walk normal throughout the day. It's also about love between old people. Let's watch this clip of Wolfie and Gamble and hope that Wolfie doesn't poop himself as they walk down this lovely street outside a diamond shop. It's like, oh, jeez. Nice clip.
By the way, on Sunday, I posted this on Facebook. I literally drove by a license plate that said,
Wolf.
It was O-O space W-O-L-F, and I nearly lost my shit. I wish I had been able to take a picture of it.
Wolfie.
And the best part was, so moments prior, I was actually, this is also on Facebook, I was driving by your house, Ronnie, and I was behind this car, this slow-moving Lexus. And there was a guy who was, like, rapping in the front seat. And he was really into it. And he was so into it that he was driving slowly. And he was sticking out his hand at the window. And he was, like, giving a middle finger to everyone. But it wasn't like he was really giving them the finger. He was just, like, acting out this song. We're like, who is this crazy person? So we passed by this car right in front of your house. And it was DMX. DMX was rapping. So then someone on Facebook – this made me laugh out loud. Someone on Facebook – I was like, what's my name? You know, that's the DMX song. Like, what's my name? But then it goes, oh, Wolf Pop. And that, for some reason, just made me laugh out loud. The idea of Gamble responding to DMX. Like, she's listening to DMX. And when he does, like, the call and response, she actually responds.
Oh, it's Wolf Pop, DMX.
He's like, shut up, bitch. Shut up, bitch. Shut up, bitch. Fuck you in your butt.
I'm Wolfie. So romantic.
Wolfie, DMX wants to know your name.
So whoever wrote that, I'm sorry, I don't have it pulled up, but that literally made me laugh out loud when you wrote that quote.
I loved this whole package of the clips. He's like, let's look at these romantic clips cut to package. And it's like, darling.
Yes, Wolfie.
Are you hungry?
No.
Me neither.
I said romantic, Wolfie.
It's like, what has happened? He bought her a diamond. I mean, that was nice. There's not really a lot else going on. He's like, darling, you see what happens is you get mad and then you get really upset and then that's not good for anyone, is it? And she's like,
oh.
Whoa, Wolfie.
Yeah, it's like, darling, I think what we should do now is not talk about this anymore.
Oh, Wolfie.
So cute. And then it turned to, all right, now that we've talked about true love, let's talk about something Janet wants to talk about. The rumor. Bum, 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 the rumor. Like, we haven't now heard about montage, the rumor.
The montage was pretty hilarious because they kept on, like, they kept on showing the two of them fighting, Janet and Gamble, and they like scored it with music from Inception. It was like wah, wah, and then but then they would like make up and they had like nice sweet music, and then they start fighting again and then make up again. It was really, they went through it like six times.
That was very funny. They put those garage band loops on a sampler and just kept playing like sad music, fun music, sad music, fun music.
All right, we're not gonna talk about this anymore, right? But you started a rumor.
Yeah. And then, so then when they're talking about it, and then Janet drops the bomb that it was Lydia who started the rumor in the first place.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, did you notice when they brought this up, when Alex brought this important topic that every family needs to be discussing up at the reunion, Janet looked like she was going to have a heart attack. She was breathing really hard. She looked nervous as hell. It's like these women are like, all right, I'm on. You know, Janet's like, I haven't had to do anything except talk about dry vagina and make fun of Gina all night. Now it's my monologue time. It's like, calm down, all right? You've talked about it 30 times. But then we understand why she's freaking out, because she's about to go up against that mastermind wordsmith, Lydia.
I know. Lydia's like, well, I guess I started the rumor, but I don't remember the rumor. I think it was something that Figaro told me when he was racing. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope you're not talking about me starting that rumor, because I didn't even know what we were talking about at the time. I had just gotten back from vacation, picking up a new maid in Mexico, and here I come back and there's something about someone being a whore, and I thought, well, you know, welcome to the club. Who hasn't been there amongst us, you know? And then you took it and ran with it. Janet's like, that's right. In all season, I was hammered. And then Lydia's like, Patty Fleur's like, well, thank you for not saying I've been hammered all season. And Lydia's, Lydia's like, well, you know, I wish you would have talked to me. And Janet says, I did talk to you, and you refused to do anything. Well, next time I hope to come at this with a more open heart. Next time I want my heart to be as open as Gamble's vagina has been on Facebook, and then this would all be solved.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Lydia just sort of slid by that, and she didn't even get any flack for it either. She's just like, I was just coming back from Italy. That's all. I guess I must have missed it. My bad. It was the most exciting thing, too, because I was on a plane, and there were all these daughters on the planes just serving me. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy, and I heard that they just flew the plane just for me, because I was the one who wanted to go to Australia, so they made a plane just for me.
I've always loved planes, so Australia built me one. Now during this, Gina has this evil smile, which I just love, because I guess she knows what's coming, and she's smiling. I thought it was going to be Gina. I was actually surprised it wasn't. Oh, this is where Gamble says, Janet's like, there you were questioning my credibility, and Gamble's like, I never questioned it. I always knew you were full of shit. And they're like, oh, now, Gamble, that's awful. Gamble, who talks like that, Gamble? And then Gamble just unleashed and wouldn't stop. She was like a pissed off teenager and was just like, you're full of shit. You're a stupid cunt. I hope you die. I can't wait till you die. I'm going to come shit on your grave. I was like, whoa, Gamble, reel it in. Yeah. Like, what? I am reeling it in. I'm not saying anything, you stupid cunt. I hope you drive and die like your vagina. And she told her, your vagina is way too hard to, or your vagina is way too dry to ride me this hard. And they were like, what does that mean? But that was when Manuela came out. All right, so the next part is Manuela.
Manuela, who sort of to me looks like some mix between Kathy Baker and Olivia Newton-John. With bangs from 1991.
Kathy Baker. Oh, my God. She's Picket Fence's Kathy Baker.
Yeah, she totally is 1992 Kathy Baker from Picket Fence's mixed with some Olivia Newton-John. And all she does is laugh nervously. Like, that's her defense. She's like, oh, I'm just going to show people that I don't care too much about this. So she just laughs about everything. They're like, Manuela, so what do you think about the rumors? What rumors? Oh, what rumors are you talking about? You know, the rumors that you were spreading. Oh, well, rumors are spreading. I don't even come up with rumors. I don't even know what a rumor is. Ah.
I don't even know her. I mean, what rumors would I be spreading? Oh, I don't have any rumors to spread. Like, she's so evil and she has those big old teeth. Yeah. I don't like her. That girl's not very nice. Like, I mean, her. I want her on the show. I want her on the show. And I
like
her.
Manuela.
Listen, Manuela disappointed me, I have to say, because she was shot down so easily by Gamble being an obnoxious teenager. Gamble really has watched every Housewives show ever because she knows how to operate. And when someone is brought on, she knows that they only have 1 second. And I'm sure that Gamble knows, she doesn't know what a filibuster is, but she knows innately. You know what I mean? Because she's like, I'm going to filibuster the bitch. Like, she just kept saying, you're a stupid cunt, and I'm going to shit on your face, and I hope you swallow a whole load of Wolfie's poop. Like, she just kept saying awful things until Alex was like, all right then, Manuela, see you later. And she's like, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course.
It was lovely coming on TV. I'm excited for all my friends to be told to swallow a load of shit. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. I've only known her for 3 minutes, so I don't even know who she is. Oh, I'm totally at ease with everything. Oh.
I'm updating my IMDb page to reflect that I have been told to swallow a load of horse cum. So thanks for having me, Alex. He's like, thank you, Manuela. And Campbell's like, bye, idiot. I hope you die.
This is a very successful experience with Manuela.
Piece of shit. Your pussy's too hard, too dry to ride me this hard. Shut down. Bye, Manuela. G rumors. What about when she was coming out on the couch and Gina's like, I'm not moving to the end.
No, it's like, Lydia. Lydia's like, I absolutely will not move to the end. I'm sorry.
I thought it was Gina.
No, it was Lydia. Lydia's like, I'm sorry. I will not move. I'm not going to move. No, sorry. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bitch? Like, not like someone told you to get off the stage.
You're in a power seat anyway. You're at the end of the couch, okay? You already lost.
Yeah, you're already at the end. And I love that, like, Gina was one who's like, I don't
care. I'm just going to move at the end myself.
Gina's like, I work just as hard on the back of my hair as I did the front. So, you know, we'll get a little side view, get a little side bang in there. Now the rumors, flirting with Rick, it's a rumor, blah, blah, blah. I just wrote rumor a lot. I don't really have much more for this.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I think there's maybe some question about, like, any regrets.
Yeah, Alex is like, did you learn anything this season, girls? How about you, Lydia? Lydia's like, no, absolutely nothing, and I'm proud to say it. He's like, thank you.
Alex is like, I've learned never to get a three-dimensional tattoo of sunglasses put on your forehead. You can't ever take them off.
It's always summer on my head.
Yeah. They did an experimental tattoo. It's a sunglass.
So I guess the main point of all of it... Oh, I think that we can sum it up with how Gamble summed it up in the end credits. Gamble turned to Gina and she said, is this even good TV or is this just crap? And you know what? I think that can pretty much sum up our podcast and this entire experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said, Gamble.
Is this even a good podcast? Or is it just crap?
Is this even good? Like, well, what are we doing? What's happening? I like that Gamble has no idea and she likes it. And I think it's a question we all need to ask ourselves and be okay with whatever the answer is.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, darling, it's both. All right, it's crap, and it's good TV, and we love you for it. So what I'm trying to say, because Chica's not here to tell you, is that I love you, and I can't wait to see more.
I love what you've done with the TV show. I think it's not crap at all. I think you've done a great job. I think it's wonderful.
And Alex is like, all right then, that's it for the reunion. And Chica's like, what Alex was trying to say is that now's the time where we're finishing up. Thanks, Chica.
Alex is like, all right, I'm going to go home to my wife, who I have sex times with, and I put my penis in my vagina, in her vagina, as straight men and straight women do. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk to Brucey about it. We're going to remember those male strippers together.
I forgot that he was straight.
Yeah, well, it's easy to forget.
Listen, if Bruce Jenner can be a straight heterosexual man with boobs, you can still be a straight gay man. All right, the lines have changed. Write a thank you note to Caitlin, darling, all right? Because the lines are blurred.
Darling, here's what you do, okay? You put some tuna tartare into a box. You send it via BoxyCharm to Bruce Jenner, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner. And then you say, here, from Alex Perry, sunglasses in the shape of tuna tartare.
Let's get together and have non-sex parties with men or possibly not.
But by the way, I'd like to say that what I just said made absolutely no sense.
Sunglasses. I know, so I tried to top it with less sense. Did it work?
Which then comes back to the question, is this a good podcast or are we just saying crap? And I think right now on my end, I'm like, can we go back to the, can we go back to Gamble? To
this
Betty
is
Fleur
a fun podcast about crap. All right. Petit Fleur is like, I did not say this show ended. This show is not over. You liar.
This is not a reunion, okay? We've been seeing each other all the time, so it's not a reunion. It's just us getting together again. It's a lie. Why can't believe you would say that, Alex Perry? You're a liar.
Speaking of getting together, let's go back to a family that is not mixed. The Candy Factory family.
Oh, when they say they've been skiing before, that they haven't been skiing, they are lying. I'm sure they've been to the slopes before. Riley already has a snow gear. Liars.
I am enjoying this show, I guess, but I'm definitely having the same thought over and over again while I watch it, which is, why am I watching this show? Why is the show on? Who came up with this show? Why? Why, and why? I have a lot of whys.
Well, obviously, Bravo is trying to ride the Atlanta train because Atlanta has the best ratings. And the truth is also that Candy's extended family, they're fun characters, you know? So even though there is that big question mark of – excuse me, I keep burping. There is that question mark of why are we watching this and why do we care?
We do it.
At the same time, it's like – it's fun.
We do it and we enjoy it. So there you go. Sometimes you have to stop asking why, all right?
Well, it was a fun episode. I believe it's – I don't remember how it started. It was one of those things –
it started with memories of the old lady fight from last week. Or from 2 weeks ago. So that was fun because I just love those old lady fights. Mm-hmm. It was like previously on Candy's ski trip.
I walked up 12 stairs. That is wrong, Candy. That is wrong. Hey, you make your aunt walk 12 stairs. They are sat there. Yeah, I almost died.
Well, what do you guys want me to do?
I want a big house. I want a big house with delivery menus in there because I like delivery stuff.
Love those old ladies. I just want it to be those old ladies just being bitches the whole time.
Well, that's pretty much what the show is, which I like. Although this episode wasn't as much about the old ladies being bitches. This one was more about Candy's assistants being bitches, which they really are. So on the main show on Atlanta, we've seen a lot of Don Juan and Carmen, and they sass off to Todd, and we usually defend them because Todd is an asshole and he's arrogant and he comes in and he bosses everyone around. And so we sort of understand why Carmen and Don Juan get irritated by him and et cetera. But the truth is they have become divas in their own right. And even not so much Don Juan, because I believe Don Juan does a lot for Candy. I feel like he has graduated from assistant to this next level where he sort of coordinates things for her. But Carmen as an assistant, she does have an attitude, and she's had an attitude for a while. And we've been on her side because Mama Joyce is so nasty to her. But in this episode, the big thing is that Matthew, who is Todd's assistant, is starting to prove himself to be a better assistant, even if he is a little more annoying than Carmen and Don.
Way better. Yeah, so he had this meeting with the two other assistants and brought over an iPad and a notebook and a, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh, look at you with your notes. Oh, isn't that funny? Oh, you got a pad too? Oh, you got a pad and a note? Oh, well, don't you care? Look at him caring. I'm like, really? Yeah. Wow.
I was like, you guys are such assholes. And anything that Matthew suggested, they were like, okay, whatever. I was like, you guys are awful. You guys are making me that's for people who listen to the bonus episode, that's the way I felt when I unleashed my board game at game night. You'll understand if you hear the board game.
I love that Matthew is going from like dumb and dumber haircut, like pushover assistant to like flaming gay guy in his interviews with bangs. With his bangs grown out. I love it. I think it's so funny. He's like, bye, Don Juan. Bye, other person. Hello, me. You know, bye, girl.
Like, bye, girl. Bye.
Hi, girl.
Girl, bye. Hey, girl.
So let's start at the beginning of this episode, because we actually started with some stuff that didn't have to do with those two assholes. This is Candy talking to Todd about the conversation she had with her family. She's just gotten back from this old lady fight, and she's telling Todd everything, which, mistake, why would you do that? Haven't you learned to not go tell Todd that your whole family hates him? Come on.
She's like, see, now, Rainy thinks that we've been knowing them and all the family stuff. And I'm like, see, we was there at that barbecue. But she's like, no, I don't think so. See, now, Rainy, Riley, where's Riley right now? Kayla.
Now, my mama said that she thinks since we got married, got taller hair. He's like, taller hair. Much taller babe, hair. They don't like it, honey.
He's like, babe.
Babe, I don't know why she's saying those things, babe, because my hair is taller, but I'm also a taller guy, and the fact that she can't believe that I'm taller makes me not feel like I'm part of the family now, babe.
You have a new family, babe.
That's babe. All I have. That's all to say.
Babe, you gotta leave him. Like, you gotta... If you're talking about me being taller, babe, you gotta let me in on that conversation, because otherwise I'm gonna feel shorter. And that's like, you don't want your husband to feel shorter, especially if you're wearing a bonnet to bed.
And then we get to the assistants being mean to the new assistant, and they're like, such assholes. They ain't nobody gonna go fly fishing. And he's like, that is racist.
I see how he's annoying, by the way. Like, he is admittedly annoying, because he's sort of like, he's just a little out there. But he is doing his job, and he is like, all he did was saying, okay, well, we have some other ideas. Like, maybe you want to go fly fishing. And they're like, fly fishing. And then he's like, then he's like, that feels racist. But but he was doing his job. He's doing fine. So they basically just shade him out of there. And then he's like, thanks for not inviting me for a drink. They're like, bye.
And bye. Carmen's like, you want to make organic granola cucumber? Fine, you do the shopping then. I'm not even going to do it. So he goes and does the shopping, and then it turns into drama because that family went through two whole Costco-sized bags of... Because you know that's what they were. When they were like, who buys two packages of bacon for 12 people? I'm like, most normal people.
Yeah.
Actually.
There were a lot of things going wrong, because Mama Joyce was cooking that bacon, and she was like, she didn't even bother separating it out. She was just cooking it like a big slab of meat. I was like, Mama Joyce, that's your bacon? Or if it is, then I've been mistaken for many years.
It's all glopped together. Well, so she's trying to make the... What's that?
All the ants were very scared, because apparently Mama Joyce does not do the cooking. That's Bertha's job. I think we agreed. Bertha and Nora do the cooking, but
Mama Joyce, this whole scene, Mama Joyce was just faking it. She's trying to have that smile, which just looks like a put-on Joker smile. It looks like somebody is literally taping their mouth back to smile, this little pointy smile. And she's like, oh, I'll cook a breakfast, Candy. And so she's making breakfast, and she's just being so passive-aggressive, you know? It's like, well, I love waffles, but one time a waffle dated a pancake against my will, and no one ate that waffle. It's like, okay, we get it, all right? You're not fooling anybody, lady.
She's like, at least the waffles listen to me and pay me, give me a call and come visit me once in a while.
So Carmen gets in trouble. She's like, well, why are you complaining about all the meat being gone? Who did the shopping? Not me. You know that's the point, right?
Yeah.
You were supposed to do the shopping.
Well, it backfired on her because she did the passive-aggressive thing, which is like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to take part. She basically wanted Matthew to mess up. It was classic Apprentice, you know, like on The Apprentice, when someone backs out of a challenge, essentially, to make the other person hang themselves. So Matthew... Of course, he doesn't buy the right things. But instead of Matthew getting the heat, everyone gets mad at Carmen. They're like, well, see, that's your job now to get the bacon. So, see, Carmen. What are you doing?
Just giving. And then you see a genuine smile from Mama Joyce, because she's getting what she wants. And she's like,
Carmen gets paid for doing nothing. I mean, that sounds like a good job. Why don't you pay me to do nothing?
You know that Candy does pay you to do nothing, right? Did you forget that part of your life, you fucking idiot? When was your last job? Complaining about houses that were bought for you.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, it's funny, though, how in the long run, Mama Joyce is getting her way, because Todd got a bad edit last season on Atlanta, and now Carmen's getting a bad one. So Mama Joyce is coming out on top.
Yeah, Mama Joyce scared some editors, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's really
she was like, I saw what you did to me. That ain't right. That is wrong, editor.
she walked in with a stiletto, and she's like, you better edit me right.
So anyway. They escape, boring. So Todd goes to a bar with his uncles or cousins or whoever the hell everybody is.
Wait,
in his
before they even do that, while everyone's skiing, Matthew takes the old ladies shopping. They go to
funny.
A cowboy store, and first of all, they're like, well, we would have thought that Carmen would have taken us shopping. It seems strange that Matthew would have, but okay. And they seem like they're actually having a fun time with Matthew. And I love when Bertha was listing the stores that she goes to. All she was doing was listing. She's like,
I don't shop at cowboy stores. I shop at Marshall's. Carnival.
Shoe Carnival is my favorite.
She's like, Culliver's, whatever that is. And she's like,
Burlington?
Burlington. It's like, our favorite is Macy's.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah, Macy's.
That is our favorite. Oh, yeah, Macy's. Oh, Macy's.
Love that. So then I'm just mentioning this scene only as evidence building for later on. So that Matt did this with the old ladies. So then Todd goes drinking with the fellas.
Yeah, so Mama Joyce in the store is like being nice to the lesbian aunt. I mean, I'm assuming she was she's married to somebody.
Yeah, married
right?
to Todd's like uncle, I think. Which is kind of funny too, because it was interesting seeing them interact, because you could sort of see that this aunt, way more educated, way more well off than these ladies. So it's sort of funny watching in a very subtle way. It wasn't harped on at all, but you could just sort of see it.
Mama Joyce kissing her ass. She's like,
I've been shopping. I got two pairs of pajamas for my children because I have two grandchildren now. And I want you to know that my second non-grandchild is still my grandchild. And I know you've heard a lot of bad things about me, but I hope that you'll let me call you a whore, and then you can hate me. And don't hate me because I call some dead person a whore. Okay, honey? Yeah.
And lesbian's like, okay, sounds good. Can't wait to get on with this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then the men in Todd's family are like, that weenie's a bully. I've seen bullies before, and weenie is it. And the thing missing from, and then Todd's like, the thing missing is a man. Like, all these old ladies, all they really need is a man to keep them in line. Get out of here, Todd. You little fucking midget. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And Todd is the man to do that job.
As he Todd is the man.
In the corner.
Yeah, let's cut to Todd, like, crying about having to sign a prenup for 3 weeks and then signing it like a little pussy.
And complaining, even though Candy is his paycheck. Like, regardless of what Todd Tucker Productions there may be out there, Candy is the paycheck. Let's just be real about that.
Yeah. Your productions would get you a nicer studio apartment in Hollywood, but it would still be a studio apartment in Hollywood. Do not front, okay? That's a good Ooh, Heather. Yeah. I'm using some Heather terminology.
Holla. Stop putting Todd out on Front Street.
Three circles and a snap. Okay, Todd? Holla. So then they end up all having a meal together, and
they do game night first.
Oh God.
So what happens is they're all doing game night. They're having fun. And Todd comes back from the bar feeling like he has to exert his manliness. And that's when he goes after Weenie. He's like, I don't think it's appropriate for you to be coming after Candy and saying that we're not involved, blah, 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 blah. So then Weenie gets all, riled up. And,
Weenie's like, I can't believe you would bring this up on the day that Matthew didn't bring enough bacon. That is disrespectful right there. That is disrespectful. And he's like, well, I'm just trying to say, you guys talk about me and then you get defensive. Oh, I'm defensive? You're defensive. You're defensive. And he's like, I'm calm. And then Mama Joyce, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. You are defensive, calm. Like, thank you for quieting the room to say that, you fucking stupid Mama Joyce.
She was right, because
then she changes the subject. She's like, you are calm, defensive, but that is still defensive. You want to know what I saw? I saw that man right there.
And I'm thinking, the one who just called Weenie a bully behind her back, you don't know that yet, so I'll just let you carry on.
It's like, that man came into this house, and the first thing he did was kiss his wife. The first thing you did was go to the kitchen.
Oh, God.
I have to say, I actually felt like Mama Joyce was on point. Because, you know, I actually felt that when Weenie was telling Todd, like, you know, stop being so defensive. He's like, I'm not being defensive. I'm calm. I was like, you can still be calm and defensive. And Mama Joyce is like, you're defensive calm. I was like, yes. Thank you, Mama Joyce. And when she said that thing about the dad, she kind of was right. I mean, you know, I get it. I mean, of course,
but that's not even the discussion.
You're allowed to get a beer when you kiss your wife. But,
yeah, but she's taking, you know, she's taking an argument about the family talking shit about him and trying to get Candy to... Yeah. Whatever. She's taking like a real family conversation and then in front of everybody turning it into, you're not even a good husband to my daughter because you didn't kiss her. I mean, she's a horrible human being. And that's what he's talking about. He's like, why the hell? And I'm sticking up for Todd, which is really sad, which means I'm not watching
the
show
anymore. There's no way to stand up for anyone and come out a winner because they're
both. But yeah, you know, Todd doesn't need to deal with that shit. It's like, most husbands would be like, yeah, that's right. You're not spending as much time with your family because they're toxic cunts. And I don't want them filling your head with terrible things about me. And we're moving to a different city, bitch. Bye.
Ronnie, you said the C word.
Eh, fuck it. You know, I think we're talking about Mama Joyce. It comes in handy.
Oh.
Listen, some rules are meant to be broken. Like the little cunts they are, darling.
Ronnie, you abandoned your post. You abandoned your C word post.
So then
they eventually like had, then they sort of like reach a truce, and then they go on the snowmobile, whatever, and they get to dinner. It's like the next day, right? And
yeah, and
all...
then the buffet guy in line. I don't know why this is what I write down out of that whole dinner, but the buffet guy was cracking me up because he's like, "Okay, everybody, welcome to a buffet. Here's what you do."
Yeah.
You get a plate, and then you stand in a line, and then you get food. They're in these large containers. Just get some food. Get what you'd like. And then get a napkin and some silverware, and then sit back down in your seat. Okay, I think they know what a buffet is, okay?
Yeah.
Tourists have buffets in their hometowns, too, darling. They're called hometown buffets.
Darling, Chef Penny, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to open up a buffet, all right? But we're going to make it look very old, all right? But and also from the country. We're going to call it Old Country Buffet. Get to it, Penny, right now. Ta-ta.
Penny.
Ta-ta on every chafer.
Ta-ta,
every chef
darling.
Ta-ta.
Let's make pigs in a blanket, but call them something else, like pigs in a blanket. All right, put it on the menu, darling. Colorado, here we come, darling.
Get the chafer going.
So then it becomes, now it becomes a public assistant fight because the assistants are openly mocking Matthew for bringing.
Matthew, he brings like a little sort of like toothpick type of thing. You know that thing, they're almost like little mini floss things that you put in your teeth.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys, okay, did you enjoy that barbecue I had set up? Well, all the assistants set it up because we all love you equally, right, other assistants? So we set this up for you, and we also thought to bring you little baby toothbrushes. Just put them in your mouth and brush your teeth like you're normally brushing your teeth. It's going to be so fun. And the ants are like, hey, get on my nerve. Matthew, nice, but I'll kill that bitch.
No, yeah. Lady.
So the assistants openly start mocking him again. They're like, oh, look at you assisting. Oh, look at you doing things for your client. Blech. Think you're so great getting her things. Oh, you want to write something down, Matthew? Want to write something down? And Riley is fuming. You can tell because she's talking really, really loudly.
Yeah. She's talking louder and slower than usual.
And Candy's like, Riley, what's your deal? And she's like,
now, Riley, what's going on down there at that part of your table? Riley.
Mm-hmm. And Riley's like, well, it's just that, you know, Matthew is doing a really good job as an assistant, but then you have two assistants who are supposed to be doing what he is doing, and they are not doing anything, and they are haters.
Yeah, that was amazing. And the entire table just busted out laughing. It was amazing. And then Carmen and Don Juan were sitting there like, because they can't say anything, because the boss's daughter just called them out.
Yeah, they do, though. Amazing. They roll their eyes. Well, you don't know what it's like being a general manager of Candy Productions. I do a lot of things.
I do a lot of things other than carry around a bag full of dental floss.
Yes, but you do it with food in your teeth. And that's the point. We can all learn from each other, Don Juan. And then it comes to assistant fight, where they get alone with each other and they start yapping about how mean Candy is. And Don Juan can't believe Candy's not going to stick up for them. And then they start telling off Candy. And then where's Don Juan? Nowhere. Not going to help Carmen at all.
Yeah, well, because
telling off Candy.
And Candy's kind of like, well, you know, I kind of agreed, you know. She's like, honestly, you haven't been the best assistant to me in the world. But, and then Carmen, of course, showing why she's not the best assistant, she's like, all right, fine. You want me? I'll carry a bag. If you want me to carry a bag, I'll carry a bag, which is such a, like, passive-aggressive way to respond to your boss, you know? And then Candy's like, no, the issue is not that you don't have a bag. The issue is that you don't anticipate things. You don't anticipate and not to get on top of you. And then she gives up. Candy starts giving examples, and then Carmen is totally busted. And then Candy, you know, she gets Don Juan too, because in the sense that Don Juan can't stand up for Carmen, because Candy points to a situation where Don Juan has clearly complained about Carmen to Candy. So now Don Juan is in a position where he's like, yeah, well, yeah, you didn't do that thing that you were supposed to, you know.
Between and it was a great. Bitch and a hard bitch.
Yeah, well, it was great because it's like, that's like when, this is why Candy, I think, is so successful, because I think she is on top of her shit and she's on top of her assistants. And as much as she seems like she sometimes is out of control of the situation, she very much is. And she knows what she wants out of people, which is why we all love Candy.
Yeah. She's like, other assistants anticipate things. You know, my friends, they wake up and their assistant has all their stuff done that they would want. They didn't have to ask for it. I mean, it would be nice one day if I just woke up and there was, like, enough bacon, you know, to eat. Or, like, a platform for Todd to get out of bed in so he's not falling every morning, you know? It's like, anticipate, darling. You know, maybe some clippers in the bathroom for Todd.
Yeah.
Height hair. Yeah. So that's enough of that, nah. What's the next show been? What else?
Blood, sweat, and heels. Blood, yeah, sweat,
blood,
and heels.
Sweat. Blood, sweat, and episode. Cancer, darling.
Fun episode. So the girls are in the Hamptons, which is always bad news. Bad
for
news
for the Hamptons,
the
for the Hamptons and the girls,
for everyone involved. So I think the episode opened with they're all sleeping, and Demetria is like sitting at a table being like, Melissa. I'm like, girl, everyone's sleeping. Why don't you just go and find her? Like, why are you yelling throughout the house? And this is not the first time she yells throughout the house. She later does
because,
it.
Because, Ben, it's her wedding and it's a big deal, Ben. It's a big deal. My wedding, like, normally I don't like weddings, but it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal.
I am so fucking sick of Demetria going along with this faux, like, oh, I don't really care. It's just a wedding. Let's just, like, get some flowers and let's, like, get a dress and let's just have a wedding. Let's just celebrate. I just want, like, 50 people. I'd call it 2 in the morning. Like, don't act like you're so over it. You love it. And even when she says later on, like, so, okay, so it turns out I love it. Like, I'm really loving this. Like, who would have thought? I'm, like, having a moment. I never would have thought. Like, you did know you would think. You knew you would have a moment. So just stop with this whole thing, like, you know, you're having a moment of vulnerability and that kind of makes you special. Like, just shut up, Demetria.
Yeah. She's like, look at me. I'm like a real girl. I'm like a real girl now. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
So Demetria, basically, she has a photo shoot, like a magazine wants to do a photo shoot with her at a castle somewhere in Long Island. And so she takes Melissa with her to the castle to help. And this is, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because it's like a big magazine, a big castle. But it's an even bigger deal to Geneva because Geneva's already on the shit list with Greg, Demetria's fiance. And Geneva would have thought that for sure she would have been brought to the castle to help out, but she wasn't. She didn't even know about it.
I love the shock. I love Geneva's shock. Like, when you're an asshole and then you're surprised when they're an asshole, why? Why are you surprised? Like, before she was an asshole to everybody but you, but now you're the one. She's being an asshole to you. Sorry, that's what you deserve because you're friends with a fucking asshole. Nobody can be friends with Demetria as herself as she is and be surprised when she's a cunt. God damn it. See, now it's a habit. It's a habit. You know, it's a habit
I
need to quit.
Control.
You know, it happens. You have one drink and then forget it.
Yeah.
But I love when Geneva said, I don't like this. I don't like this one bit. You know, 1 minute I'm invited and then the next minute I'm not. I feel like an outlaw. I'm like, no, Jesse James. You're not an outlaw, okay? You're an outcast.
Outcast. I'm an outlaw.
You have done nothing outlawish, all right?
Hey,
except for that whole punching the cop or whatever you did in your orange
plastic cone
Listen,
jacket.
Listen, honey, you sound really worked up about it. Why don't you just put your feet up and decompose for a little bit?
Geneva English.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was that since Geneva was not invited on this photo shoot, she then spent so much energy letting the world know. Like, she had her girlfriend call up her friend V. She's like, yeah, would you believe it? Demetria, they just left. They just left without me. Like, I would have
She's calling everybody. She called her mom. She's like, Mom, you wouldn't believe what she did to me. I mean, here I am looking like a damn fool. And her mom's like, well, what are you wearing right now? I'm in pajamas, but don't worry. The robe doesn't match. It's totally clashing. Oh, you're still you, baby. That's all that matters. Yeah. That's all that matters. You're still you.
She's like, sorry, Mom. I got to go put an update on the Geneva News Daily website right now. Big red headline. Geneva, not invited to photo shoot.
The Trader Joe's flyer. What is that called?
the month, whatever it's called. I've got to put
sausages
an ad
out. On sale. Also, Demetria is a bitch.
I have to write an editorial in the Penny Saver. Excuse me.
What about what's her buns? Demetria saying, my mom's here. And you know, my mom, like, I really respect her. She's a feminist. She's a true feminist. And her whole life, she's been fighting for feminist rights. And the biggest news, it wasn't about self-publishing a book of blogs that I copy and pasted from the internet. And it wasn't about, like, finding, a sexist guy to date. She's excited about me getting married. I'm really trying to get that one figured out. Mm-hmm. Is it against feminist policy now to be happy when your daughter gets married?
Yeah, exactly. Her mom was very cute, although I have to say I was so distracted by her hair because it was like a short, it's like a little bob on the left, and then it was like then it was like long on the right. It was like this very strange asymmetrical situation, and I could not figure it out for the life of me. I'm like, I don't want to shade this woman, but this haircut is really very strange to me.
Look, I know it's not right to just not like parents because of their children's actions, but, you know, you can't hate the apple and love the tree. You know what I mean? Like the tree did.
Yeah, but I haven't seen enough of the tree to hate the tree. So I'm going to love the tree until I learn to hate the tree. So right now,
and sometimes apples go rotten. You know what? And sometimes apples go rotten and the tree is still standing. So there you go. I've just ruined my own...
That's right. That's why there's a thing called bad apples. And that's why if you're going to go apple picking, you should just take the apples that are in the lobby and not even bother with the orchard.
Yeah. Well, because, who can blame them? They're going on some field trip that someone else planned that they didn't even want to go on.
So now this is something that I can actually see why the girls were annoyed, because while Melissa is off with Demetria, these girls, the rest of the girls, they have a plan to go apple picking. And we should mention that Arzo and Shanti, they buried the hatchet, so everything's okay with them. And then they go apple picking, but this was
kind of that was a very funny conversation.
Yeah, it was like a
look. Here's the deal: we're in the same group of friends, and I think it's really horrible that I hurt your feelings. And I would just like to say that I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, and I'm
you're
sorry.
You're going Australian. You're going Australian.
And or I can't. That's all I can do now. And Arzo's like, yeah, well, I mean, like, okay then. I mean, I guess that's sincere. So thank you. Thanks for apologizing.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, I know you didn't have any balance, so, you know, let's just move on. I'm really good at moving on. That's why I date someone named Yesterday, because I like to leave Yesterday in the past, because he doesn't have money yet, so I want to leave our Afghan count comments in the past. Thanks, Marzo.
When I'm ready, I'll find a man named Future, but until now, it's Yesterday, okay? No one wants to be in the present.
No, exactly. And Future spelled F-E-W-T-U-R-E. Okay. Thanks. I'm Arzo.
But anyway, so the women go to apple picking and this is Melissa's event and Melissa's not there. And that is kind of fucked up. I think it's totally fucked up because, you know, I'm sure if these women had their druthers, they probably did not want to go apple picking. Although I would have, I don't think they would have wanted to, but they have to because Melissa arranged it, but Melissa's not even there. So that's fucked up. And on top of that, Daisy's having issues because previously on Blood, Sweat, and Heels, when Daisy was telling Geneva about cancer, she's sharing. And then Demetria and Arzo and Melissa were kind of like snickering in the corner. To be fair, I didn't think it was that bad that they were doing it because they were all drunk and they've heard it before.
And they weren't making cancer jokes.
Were they? I don't know. I can understand what – no, they weren't. I can understand why Daisy was upset, but I can also understand why they thought that it was okay to do that.
Yeah, but Daisy, too much Daisy. I think she was I don't think you can tell everybody how much you don't want to talk about your cancer, don't want to talk about your cancer, and then all you want to talk about is your cancer. You know, it's almost like people who are in the closet and then they come out and then everything they say is about having a dick in their mouth. Like, we get it. We don't care.
Right. You know? Well, I guess what Daisy's point was, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But now, okay, I'm going to talk about it. So, like, let me have my moment. I guess I can sort of understand that. And I guess I can understand why she's mad, because Demetria, Arzo, and – well, not Melissa, but Demetria and Arzo really hadn't talked to her about it. They didn't know anything about it. So that's why it may have seemed a little colder. But
yeah, but she's
I also
too
feel
much.
Like Daisy.
Then she should just say, why don't you guys stop laughing while I'm talking? Like, I'm talking about cancer and you're in a corner laughing. Like, why is it 2 days later or whatever? And she's like, and then Demetria doesn't even care. I mean, I have cancer and they're over there laughing and she's offering to cut me a strawberry. I mean, that's so rude. Blubber, blubber, blubber. And then the ladies come back and she's just like pretending nothing happened. She's like, hi, how are you guys? Did you have fun?
I give Daisy a little bit of a break on that, because she's talking about – it was only the next day that she was talking about it. And I think that as she was addressing Arzo, because she was the only one that was there, I think she actually addressed Arzo in a very mature way. And I think that – but as she started to talk about it, I think the emotions started to like – well up in her. I think she was sort of...
And also, Arzo wasn't helping because she wasn't agreeing with her, you know?
Arzo was like,
well, I mean, look, how much can people talk about cancer? Like, it gets boring, you know what I mean? Like, cancer is like, it's not like you just got it. Like, it's old now. Like, you have
it's
old
like,
cancer.
It's not a new disease. Well, you know, Arzo was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I just thought that since you sort of say that you don't like to talk about cancer, I thought that you didn't want to talk about cancer based on what you said, so therefore we weren't paying attention. I'm sorry, girl. I just thought you were making a beeline for something else. Sorry.
She's like, but I was literally talking about cancer. I said cancer 20 times. And Arzo's like, yeah, we didn't hear you because that's like old news and we were talking about new stuff. Like, have you heard of Ebola? Have you heard that you can get Ebola from an apple?
Yeah, they're all like, don't touch the apple, there's Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. Meanwhile, Geneva, all of a sudden, who had spent the morning like erecting billboards about the fact that she wasn't invited to the photo shoot, then suddenly was defending Demetria. She's like, no, you know, Demetria's like, she cares in her own weird way. Like, let me talk. And Shanti's like, no, that's not right. It's not right at all. She's a bully. She's a big, fat bully with big hair. That's not right at all. She's an Afghan hound, too.
It's like, stop sticking up for her. It's ridiculous. She's a giant bully. I mean, she's wearing ruffles, for Christ's sake, darling. Ruffles. Yeah, Demetria does have something with ruffles. I like that she says things like, I'm not, you know... Shanti is saying, you don't have to treat her like she's the queen. And then, meanwhile, Demetria is really in a castle. Like, she's literally
in a castle in wearing, like, Princess Elizabeth ruffles.
I loved all of that stuff. I don't know why I loved Demetria in a castle so much. I just thought it was so funny. I was excited about the wedding because, like weddings are, like, fashion statements where everybody's, like, wearing crop top dresses and, like, trying to look all hot. And I don't care, you know? Like, I just wanted a wedding where I could feel thin again. So I came back to the time of Botticelli, and we're now getting married in a castle. And I'm the thin person in town. It's a big deal.
She's like, they're like taking photos. They're like holding up my dress behind me. Like, this is crazy. Like, is this my life? This is so crazy. And they're taking pictures. Like, this is what they do on photo shoots. They take pictures. Like, this is crazy. I'm like so self-conscious right now. Like, I don't feel pretty right now, even though everyone's telling me I'm pretty. Like, this is crazy. It's a big deal. I'm getting married.
Like, it's crazy. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. Big. Wow. This is a big deal. Whoa. Did you see me walk in the grass without my shoes? I walked in the grass without my shoes. I mean, it's a big deal, you guys. Huge. I'm going to blog about this.
I think I like it. Like, I'm just like... I'm just realizing this is like my wedding. This is like an amazing day. This is probably one of the best days in mankind. Like, it's a big deal.
I'm self-publishing a new book this weekend. It's called Big Deal. And you open it and it just says Big Deal. Because it's a big deal. You don't need to know.
It's a big deal. I published two words. So after all the venting and the apple orchard or whatever, so then they all go to dinner at Almond. And, so they get there, and then everyone is all smiles and happy and yada, yada, yada. And then Shanti, I believe it starts with Shanti telling Demetria that she deserves an apology for Greg kicking her out of the Q&A from a few episodes ago. And Demetria's like...
she's like, I think you owe me an apology. And Demetria's like, why? He's just looking at her like, bitch, really? Now?
Yeah.
And then Shanti's sure like, did come for her.
Brother... Yeah, Shanti was like, my brother works in a yogurt factory, okay? I keep it real. She was like, everyone was making noise. I don't know why you singled me out. And then they show a flashback of her being like wasted, being like, Micah, Micah, Micah.
And Demetria's response is, I should have kicked all your asses out then, if you were like that.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I was in a castle, okay? You were at a Q&A of someone who went to a castle.
So this huge fight starting, and Orza's like,
what are you guys going to order? I want to order a side of fries, but my parents will be disappointed. So nobody tell them, okay?
Whenever we go to a restaurant, yesterday always has to order a grilled cheese or chicken fingers because he eats exclusively off the children's menu. It's adorable.
I'm feeling homesick right now because nobody, like, we're fighting and nobody's coloring on their menu. Like...
Guys, I have a question. What are we supposed to do while we wait for our food? I want to play a maze, but there's no mazes here for me to draw through.
Guys, whatever happened to tic-tac-toe, am I right?
Meanwhile, it's like, Shanti's like, you're a bitch. And Demetria's like, you're all horrible. And then Demetria is so holier than thou. And I love when she fights and pretends that she, like Shakespeare. She's like, thou shalt not. Yeah. That was out of bounds. Thou shalt not speak to me like that. I was in a castle all day. Thou shalt not. Raise the drawbridge. Raise it. You are no longer invited to order dinner at this restaurant.
I know. Well, Demetria was like, honey, you are reaching, and your arms are not long enough. And then Shanti's like, well, you're wide enough. I forget what she said. She's like,
your waist isn't small enough.
She actually had like a pretty awesome response. It was nasty.
Yeah, she's like, you have T-Rex arms. Well, you're fat. The end. And then they're like, that is disrespectful that a woman would say that to another woman.
Yeah, that suddenly it became like, that was a personal attack, yada, yada. And then I think Melissa chimed in at one point. Like, anyone wants to hear about Melissa? And Shanti's like, look, I'm just defending my friend. I think it's shitty that you were, you know, you're willing to disinvite Geneva when, you know, like, you guys are so close. And that was actually, I agree with Chantal. I mean,
Ben, that was the dumbest point. She's like, listen,
no, I mean,
I was at your event talking, and you didn't like that, but then you have no problem talking during someone's cancer story. And it's like, those are two different things. One is a public event, and one is a living room where people are just sitting around talking. And
true, no one... although it's not, I mean, same time, it's like, yes, I get 100% what you're saying, but there is that element of like, it's one thing, like, everyone has to be quiet for Demetria, and yet now when Daisy is sharing something a lot more personal, and that's a lot scarier, that Demetria doesn't have to pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying. Like, to me, they don't have anything to do with each other. It's just Chantal bringing someone else's cancer up to use against somebody else in a fight.
I'm not saying this was a good defense for Chantal's argument. I'm not saying what Chantal was arguing about had nothing to do with anything. But to get to the point about Demetria disinviting Geneva, I think that is bullshit. Like, I think it's like, if you're going to let that cause you to be, you're going to let that get in the way of someone attending your wedding, then that is bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
really,
I agree.
Is.
Yeah, it is. She's full of shit. And I also like someone calling her out because I hate how she acts. Whenever somebody asks her about something, she always becomes such an ice bitch. It's like, why do you need to do that? Like, I get that you self-published a book or two, babe, but saying thou shall does not make you smarter than everybody else. This other bitch owns her own business. You're not talking to some moron. You know?
Yeah, and then they get home, and first of all, Melissa's like, guys, it's so dirty in here. Well, bitch, you should have been home to clean it up. But then Demetria, like, is upstairs, like, all right, I'm going home. This isn't fun for me anymore. This isn't fun. This is like
I've literally put on a quilt because it's so chilly in here. I have quilted a jacket, and I was like, what are you wearing? My meemaw's quilt? Like, it looks like she robbed the Cracker Barrel and then packed her bags.
She's like, literally, this isn't fun for me anymore. Like, I'm not gonna be here if it's not fun for me, so I'm gonna go home. So it's not fun. So Geneva, I'm gonna go right now. So then Geneva, which is, by the way, also such a, you know, it wasn't, I can't even get into it. Geneva, Demetria, you're the reason why it's mostly not fun. Even if Chantal started with you, you're really the reason. And I kind of like that, even though Chantal, a lot of times her arguments are very self-serving, as most arguments are. But even though she's kind of, like, annoying, I kind of like that she was going after Demetria, you know?
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too.
So anyway, then Geneva's like, listen, I want you to know that Daisy was feeling kind of hurt because she was sharing and you were, you know, she didn't realize that when you're talking about strawberries, that that was actually a sincere moment from you. And she was feeling hurt. So what does Demetria do?
Instead of Daisy, Demetria being, get in here and bring your cancer with you.
Instead of Demetria being like, oh, my God, I feel terrible. She's like, Daisy. She just screams it. Like, everyone has to stop. Like, Daisy has to come to her, you know. Just that action alone really got under my skin. Like, you were like, why don't you go to her? If you know that someone's feeling bad, like, you go to them. Either way, Daisy came.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not walking to anybody. I've already been called fat today. The cancer lady can walk to me, all right?
Yeah. As proof that I'm not fat, I will not move. So so then Daisy comes and Daisy explains. Again, she's like, I just kind of felt like, you know, like you were making comments and it just felt like you, like of everyone, like you never even said to me like anything like, oh my God, I'm sorry to hear this, blah, 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 blah. And rather than Demetria saying, you know, it was a misunderstanding, I thought that like, I didn't want to like say something when I wasn't invited to say something or yada, yada, yada. Instead, Demetria is like, fuck you, essentially. She gets super defensive.
Like a Kim Richards argument in a way, even though Demetria never drinks. But she totally had Kim Richards argument where it's not her action, it's everybody else's reaction. She's like, well, I can't believe that you would disparage me like that and tell people that I'm someone who's heartless about cancer. You know, who does that?
Something became about
who goes to other people? Especially on a day where they're planning for a really big deal. You know, I was in a castle today and Melissa was teaching me how to pose. And Melissa's like, yeah, I had her like touching her toes and like flicking her clit on the camera. Like a real model would do. Don't ruin this day. It's like, why are you bringing Melissa to help you model? I'm sorry, I can't let that scene go. But yeah, Demetria is awful. She's awful.
It really bothered me that she turned it like that and that she was so unsympathetic. I mean, it's crazy. And even Geneva, I was surprised that by the end of the day, Geneva was pretty like buddy-buddy with Demetria about...
Listen,
like,
you're nice to the one you're afraid of. That's why we're always at war in this country. We just want people to like us. Do you understand that?
And it also proved your point because the moment that Demetria really got hit hard by Ashanti, of course she's like, I'm going to leave. I mean, leaving in tears, essentially, even though she wasn't crying.
Yeah. Ashanti's like, bye, doll. Bye, doll. Yeah, I mean, look, Daisy gets on my nerves, and I think she was really overreacting and expecting a little too much from someone wearing a quilt jacket on purpose as an adult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love Daisy because the girl was praying in a turban and a wig. Okay. It wasn't like a cancer turban where you're like, I'm hiding my chemo head, you know, which you have to get sometimes. It was like, I'm going to wear a wig and the turban. Okay. We get it. You have the most fabulous cancer that's ever been formed, darling.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's pretty easy to nitpick at Daisy's situation and say, well, she didn't want to talk about cancer. Now all of a sudden she wants to talk about it. And, you know, well, you know, she didn't bother even telling Demetria about it. And now she expects Demetria to do this and that. Those are all valid points. But I think at the end of the day, I can also respect that Daisy is probably an emotional wreck on the inside.
She's tired. Yeah, she's gone through a lot.
And I think that, like, she's feeling very sensitive. And it kind of all caught up with her. And the point is, if Demetria wasn't compassionate when she needed to have been, and she's told, hey, you know what? I just want a little more compassion. I just want, like, if that was your way of showing compassion, I didn't feel it. I'm not getting it. Then, you know, then she could have responded. She could have done at least what Melissa did. At least Melissa, when at the end of the episode, when Daisy said to Melissa, look, you know, you don't ever come with me to any of my treatments. You don't do this or that. And she kind of called out Melissa. Melissa didn't get mad at Daisy. Melissa was like, okay, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to change. That's how you respond in those situations. As annoying as Melissa is, she responded the correct way in my estimation.
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? I mean, if we're going to understand Daisy getting emotional because she has cancer and stuff, and that's a disease, and I get it. Like, that's super... That makes sense, you know? But we have to understand that Demetria has a disease too, and, you know, she smiled that day earlier. She actually smiled like 2 times, and she's exhausted, and she needs to lay down.
It's a big deal. She was at a castle.
It's a big deal.
The wedding, like, she doesn't really care about this wedding, but by the way, she's just going to go to a photo shoot at a castle. That's all. And by the way, she's acting like she doesn't care about this wedding at all. Like, those photo shoots don't just come out of thin air. It's not like someone just finds her and is like, oh, by the way, we hear you're a bride. You know, the reason why they want to shoot her is she probably emailed them and was like, by the way, I'm getting married. Can we do a photo shoot? Like, let's not ignore how that photo shoot came around. It's not like the people at this magazine were scouring the registries at Target.
Yeah. You know, she sent out a group email to everyone like, I just tweeted you. Retweet it.
Because you notice how every episode is something like, oh my god, like, these people want to make me a cake. That's amazing. Oh my god, these people want to do this for me. Oh my god, these people want to do this for me. Like, that doesn't just happen. Sure, Bravo probably has a hand in it, and Bravo probably got pulled some strings, but we all know that Demetria.
Well, I think you get free shit for being on Bravo, but I think a lot of it, they actually do pull those strings themselves.
No, but I'm saying that I'm sure Bravo was like, okay, we need a scene with a cake tasting. Let's reach out to cake tasters and say who would be willing to give free cake if we can shoot in their store, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure that
happens. I still want the scene of Demetria in the Wendy's asking for free cake to taste, because you know that shit happens. Demetria is going to every fucking place in town asking for a bite of cake.
And by the way, more power to her. That's one thing I can get behind, cake tasting.
Like, do you hear me, Wendy's? It's a big deal. No, like, sorry, ma'am. Please get out of the drive-thru.
I am freaking out over Demetria's wedding.
Greg is not going to be friends with you anymore. You are not invited to our wedding, Wendy's. I'm freaking out, bitches.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of a nice hour and a half episode about all things Melbourne, blood, sweat, heels, cancer. You know, I mean, got it all. Mama Joyce.
Yeah, we really do. And then on Thursday, I believe we will be talking about Real Housewives of New York. We'll be talking about my latest burp, which just happened. We'll be talking about Southern Charm, Shaw's finale. And we'll probably cover some of that Kim Richards gossip, which is that she's
back. We've got a lot this week, actually. I think Secrets and Wives starts tonight, doesn't it?
Does it really, Ronnie?
Oh, I think so, Ben. It just added a little time to a skidge.
I think you're right. I better record that.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm going to tvguide.com right now, which you all should go to get a beauty box. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to this podcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens to talk shit with other listeners throughout the week. Come support us over on patreon.com. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you want to subscribe to this podcast as a patron, you'll get bonus episodes and ringers and all that stuff that I told you about before that you might have fast-forwarded. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Ben, for just being as lovely
as
ever.
Ronnie.
Oh, God. No need. And thanks to everybody who's listening to this right now. We love you all. Sorry for the C word. I'll get better next time. All right? It's always tomorrow.
Look at you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.